Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. We have the mayor of New Bedford here. Merry Christmas, Mayor.
Merry Christmas, Chris. People don't know how much we yuck it up off the air here. We return from the commercial break, you know, laughing into the microphones.
Yes,
people are probably like, what are they doing?
When I say sarcastically, Merry Christmas, because the horrible
thing. You don't mean that.
No. I was talking about the mayor's trip to Israel and how he was a legitimate kidnap target. And what would have happened?
Now you tell me.
Now I tell him, right? So, Mayor, let me. It's a great time of the year in the city of New Bedford, right?
It's a great time of the year, and it's Christmas. Everybody's in the spirit. Some people are anxious about completing their shopping. I happen to be one of them now because I started shopping on Sunday 2 days ago. And
did you?
Yeah, I'm realizing. I got a ways to go, Chris. So here I am.
Yes,
right where I usually am at this time of year, but I'll get it done one way or the other. So people might see me scrambling around, and that's okay.
But you got a long way to go and a short time to get there, Mayor.
I do. I'm trying to shoehorn it all in today and I guess tomorrow, and that's it. Because today's the 23rd. Plenty of time. I got this.
Today is the 23rd, and it's not even noon.
Right?
Yeah, you got plenty of time.
Yeah. So I might people might see me strolling down William Street today at some point to go shop downtown. That's my plan. I might just wander around until I've acquired everything I need to for Christmas presents.
Well, everything you need can be found at Carter's Clothing.
Right there on William Street.
Yeah. Right there. It's South Coast's one-stop shop. They've got all kinds of great stuff, Mayor. You can find something for everyone with the best prices. They got all kinds of boots, cozy flannels, hoodies, jackets, vests, perfect for Christmas gifts for you, Mayor, and free parking.
Carter's got it all. Great store, great family, all that. And by the way, as I said before, I still have the jeans from last year that don't fit. And my wife, Ann, said, you saw them the other day. They were sitting on the radiator. So it's like, what are you doing with those? I said, oh, yeah, I got to bring those back. It's been a year. But the Carter family's that nice. I'm sure they will allow me to redeem those jeans for ones that actually fit me.
And if you sign them,
maybe I should just try them on again. This year, maybe they're less snug than they were last year. Who knows?
Yes, maybe. And
I can always hope.
And they can also resell them with a value of, put them on the wall, formerly owned by Mayor John Mitchell.
Right? Yeah. Gently used by Mayor John Mitchell.
Right. Barely used. Thrown on the radiator.
Yeah, why not? That helps. Yeah. If they think that they can charge a premium for that, I'd be happy to walk through the store and try on everything for them to boost sales.
There are a lot of people out there.
Trevor Carter's probably listening today. It's Christmas after all. He probably has it on in the store.
I would imagine.
That's an open offer.
Yes. Mayor, you and your team, the Port Authority, rained down on the IG's report. Talk about that.
Well, yeah, you'll remember, and a couple of people have called in about this.
The
State Office of Inspector General issued a report that after a two-year investigation, issued a report back in November that alleged that the Port Authority and the State Department of Conservation and Recreation didn't manage the finances of the Pulp's Island Marina appropriately, and that the marina wasn't taken care of. The report, I was astonished by it because as somebody who led, as a federal prosecutor, led investigations into large organizations, it was remarkable to me how little investigating they did. They did literally, Chris, did not talk to a single person at the Port Authority. Not one. They didn't go to the Gordon Carr, the executive director. They didn't go to the CFO. They didn't go to anybody. They didn't talk to anybody. They didn't talk to the marina manager. Instead, they didn't, nor did they actually look at the marina. There's no evidence to suggest that they actually set foot in New Bedford to look at the marina.
Do you think they had the conclusion before they backfilled?
Oh, yeah, they had to have. Right. Yeah, yeah. They got a complaint from an anonymous whistleblower.
From Mattapoisett?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who just said, you know, X, Y, and Z is happening there. And they just took it as an article of faith. Oh, yeah, he must be right because he's a state legislator.
Yes.
Right? So right. They kept his name out of it, which is just remarkable to me. I sort of challenged the inspector general to explain why you would keep a state legislator, the name of a state legislator anonymous.
Right.
But be that as it may, it was a garbage investigation. And they alleged that we couldn't account for payments made to the state, rent in effect for the marina docks. As you know, the marina is comprised of the docks, the floating docks, as well as the house and the parking lot. And so of all that, only the docks are owned by the state. The state paid for the construction of the docks back in the early 90s and entered into a series of operating agreements with, first it was the Harvard Development Commission, which now goes by the name New Bedford Port Authority,
right,
to operate them. So they have, and they've done a really good job with it. The state OIG said, well, you can't account for payments going from 1994 to 2015. And so we don't know whether you actually made those payments. So the state, there's a law, state record retention law, that says in effect that you only have to keep records for 7 years.
Right.
So
right.
It's the year 2025 now. So this is well beyond these records they're talking about that we can't find in their minds are well beyond that. Like, no, what business keeps 30-year-old records?
Right.
But they, so, you know, use the analogy and the response that, well, you know, this is kind of like saying, because you can't produce your grocery bills from 20 years ago, we can't rule out the possibility that you were shoplifting food.
Yes.
Because you had to have been eating,
yes,
all along, right? So
right.
You must have been, you could have been stealing food. We just don't know.
Right.
So it's that kind of logic. And so, you know, we wrote a response and just let them have it. So everybody should read it. And just read.
Where is it available?
So I think it's on our website. Let me check with Don Darling. The Port Authority's website. Go to the Port Authority's
website.
They have it there. And it's astonishing to me. And look, I used to be in the business of investigating, among other things, large organizations. And I looked at this and I said, this is amateur hour. The reality is that marina is is one of the best run marinas in Massachusetts. Think about it. 198 slips, it's fully subscribed. There is a waiting list of 101 people to get in on that. People want it, they're banging at the door.
Parking lot's always jammed,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, parking lot's always jammed, but they have a waiting list of over 100 people to get in there. It's full and with a huge waiting list. And it has been recognized by marinas.com with their highest awards called like elite fleet status, but which, you know, nobody's got to recognize, but that's like sort of the gold standard of marinas. And there were only two other marinas. So they've gotten that the last 3 years. There are only two other marinas in Massachusetts. You think it was probably hundreds of marinas along the Massachusetts coastline.
Sure.
There's only two others that actually got the same award for 3 years straight. So they actually do a really good job. And I feel badly for the employees over there who work really hard to make that work, because they didn't deserve this. The state inspector general, whatever he does, to come down on them unfairly like that. The marina, the importance of the marina is this. It's not so much this important recreational asset per se for New Bedford, right? It's like most of the people who are there aren't New Bedford residents. It's the fact that people come there, they have the means to have a sailboat or a powerboat, mm-hmm, there, and so they spend money in our restaurants, they spend money in hardware stores, they spend money in the liquor store across the street, they
right.
spend money all and marine supply shops, they're spending dough here.
Yes.
That's what we want. So it supports small businesses.
Big time.
And the harbor, the fuel companies, all that. So, yeah. So, we let them have it. And it just goes like, it's all Beacon Hill politics. This
totally.
Is just the insider stuff. Oh, there's a state rep complaining about this. He must be right about it. And just to we'll go ahead and we'll issue this report when they didn't have the facts, they didn't have the law on their side. They didn't ask for any records, didn't interview anybody. They didn't interview anybody. And the records they said were missing were well beyond the date the Port Authority was required to retain them. And again, it's like saying, like, yeah, you didn't hold on to your grocery bill, so how do we know that you weren't stealing food, right? So, from the grocery store. So it's that kind of logic. They have no idea what they're talking about. And the state, frankly, the state legislators should be embarrassed that they let this go on. And I honestly, the problem now is that I don't know what's going to happen with that marina. The state is saying, you know, we don't want to enter into more agreements. And the state OIG, the State Office of Inspector General, is saying, oh, no, the legislature's got to fix it. I'm not holding my breath. And so the point will come where it may go out to a private operator. A private operator might not even bid on it. And right. So I want everybody to know that the New Bedford Port Authority has done everything it can dealing with a very difficult set of state agencies here to run that marina the right way. They do a really good job, but at the end of the day, the state's probably going to take it back, and God love them. We'll support whatever they do there.
Okay.
But they've got to figure it out. The other thing I'll just say is, the employees, it's a shame that you assume that this agency would understand how to do a real investigation, and they don't. They don't, and
they didn't want to do it.
They didn't want to do it. This is all like, we're going to accuse you of something and then run away. They don't have to prove it in court. They just have to make a report out to the public, and then when we respond decisively with really clear arguments, they just say, "Well, we stand by our report," or whatever that means.
Right?
Like, yeah, you're so. Anyway, so honestly, I mean, you know me. There's a school of thought that says just just roll with it.
Yeah, I don't belong to that school.
One day press hit. They accuse us of doing stuff. Not too many people are paying attention. Some of your listeners are paying attention. They deserve to. I mean, that's good. People should pay attention. But like, it didn't make a big press splash. But you know, my feeling is that for a long time, this city, when it has to confront folks with interests in Boston, doesn't fight back. That's not my style.
Right.
And so this is an instance where, okay, you're gonna throw a punch at us, and we're gonna punch you a hell of a lot harder back.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's what this was about. So it's unfortunate.
For people just tuning in, the mayor's here on a Tuesday because it's the last day of the week we're going to be here in studio, and he was good enough to adjust his schedule to come in. We're talking about his reaction, his answer, Gordon Carr's answer from the Port Authority to the IG's report, and you can find it at the Port Authority website. I encourage everybody to read this letter, read the reaction, because it's outrageous. And this is all politics, guys. All stimulated by, I'll name him, it was Bill Strauss who stimulated this report.
I mean, the letter says so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And for the IG not to disclose that is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you hiding? So, you know, they opened themselves up to the accusations of political influence.
Right.
Like, are you writing a report that's grounded in evidence, or are you just doing it to placate somebody in politics in Beacon Hill? So I you know, my interests are here in New Bedford, and that's what I fight for. And like, when somebody accuses hardworking folks in New Bedford that they did something wrong when there was nothing to it, we're going to punch back.
Yep.
Period.
508-996-0. I can speak with the mayor of New Bedford. We have a lot more to speak with him. We'll be back. We got a very short break to take, so we'll be right back. Stick around.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by D's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, soda, and a bag of chips for only $5.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
Upside down, you're turning me. You're giving love instinctively. Round and round, you're turning me.
turn me inside out. Welcome back to Midweek with the Mayor. Beginning
of
the week.
Short of midweek.
Sort of midweek with the Mayor. He's rescuing us from Christmas music with a little Diana Ross.
You know, I could have done the Christmas music. I did it last year, if you recall.
Did.
I don't know. There's just, you know, we want, people have been hearing Christmas music.
Yeah. So,
I was in Green Airport, I don't know, beginning of November, and they're playing Christmas music. I'm like, do I have this right? They're playing
right.
Christmas.
Right.
Well before, like 2 weeks before Thanksgiving. Like, so I don't know. How about just good songs?
Yeah, good songs, good music here on the playlist by the Mayor. So,
but
Mayor,
don't get me wrong, Chris. I love, so people should, I love Christmas. I love the time of year. It's, but, I just wanted to be a little bit different.
He's not a Scrooge, folks. He's not a Scrooge.
I am not a Scrooge. I love Christmas.
He wants you to know that. But he's dying for Halloween to put the smoking skull up.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I live for that.
You're more of a Halloween guy than a Christmas guy?
No. Christmas is still the best. But
do you have a smoking Santa you put above?
Oh, that's a great idea.
Right?
Yeah, think about that, you know?
Well, you got 365 days to go.
I could take that big skull I put up for Thanksgiving, put a big Santa hat on. All right, next year.
All right.
I'm on it.
Go by the mayor's house next year. So, Mayor, the federal government has ruled the Department of Defense or the Department of War has taken a stand against offshore wind. How's that going to impact the city? What are your thoughts?
I got a lot of thoughts. I think it shouldn't be a surprise to anybody who's listened to the show in the last 14 years. I think it was a terrible mistake. I'm a little surprised. We've heard some of the discussion on the air. I think, so it's hard to judge by just some caller. There are some people who are listening to the national talking points and think offshore wind is evil and it's killing the fishing industry, when frankly, there isn't evidence of that. But they were complaining about it before there were windmills in the seabed and how that was killing fish. It was our whales and whatever. But there's a more important point here,
okay,
which is we have led, more than any city in America, led the effort to cultivate the offshore wind industry. And we do it not to save the planet, Chris. And we can have, people can debate whether offshore wind is a cost-effective way to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and address climate change. But my concerns are primarily parochial. I want to create jobs in the city.
Right.
And we've done a lot of that. You know, when I got into office, the unemployment rate was 13%. It's between 5 and 6% right now. It's been that way for a while. And offshore wind has been one of the primary sources of new capital in the city.
Yes.
Directly through private investment, but also in the public investment that it has spurred. So there's literally hundreds of millions of dollars of new port investment
right
here that wouldn't have happened if offshore wind hadn't been in the offing. But there are people working on our waterfront right now, actually last week, who aren't going to be working this week because of the president's announcement. There'll be fewer people staying in our hotels. There'll be fewer people in the restaurants because the Vineyard Wind Project has done that. And the investments that offshore wind has brought to New Bedford will continue to pay off. When offshore wind comes back, as it eventually will, New Bedford will be in a highly competitive position to grab those jobs.
Interesting.
So for me, Chris, it's not like I hear people there's that lady from Nantucket who comes on here. Like, I don't know.
Amy DeCibio, yeah.
Yeah, I wouldn't know if I bumped into her. But understand this. The gripe in Nantucket and other places is that it spoils their view. Do you happen to know what the median cost of a single-family home is in Nantucket?
I would say maybe 1.5.
You're not in the ballpark. I looked it up.
3.5?
It's 3.3.
Okay.
$3.3 million. That's the median price of a house in Nantucket. And so when folks...
I knew I should have bought one over there.
You should have done that a long time ago.
Yes.
Right? So when people talk about their view being spoiled and they're like on average $3.3 million home versus what it means for New Bedford, I stand on the side of people who want jobs, who live in the neighborhoods nearby, some of whom are employed either directly or indirectly in the offshore wind industry. That's what that's why we do what we do. And no, as somebody who comes from a fishing family, who knows the fishing industry very well, who is hugely supported by the fishing industry, politically and otherwise, if offshore wind is done the right way, it will not harm the fishing industry. And I've been very clear about that. We've sued other offshore wind developments, including what became the Empire Wind Project off of New York. We sued the federal government off of that. We've been very vocal about the development of the New York Bight in the Mid-Atlantic call area, all these places where New Bedford fishermen fish. We've been outspoken about that. Because those are places where offshore windmills ought not to go. It's a big ocean. If they're sited the right way, New Bedford's fishing industry won't feel it, and there'll be a whole lot more investment and job creation here in the long run. That's why we do it here. It isn't because of some Green New Deal idea or whatever. It is primarily because I'm trying to attract capital and jobs to the city, and that's what I'm going to continue to do. And so when the president in a swipe of a pen says, stop the project, it kicks people off the job 3 days before Christmas and says it's about national security, even though the national security implications of that development have been vetted decisively over the last 15 years, to me, it's a shame. That shouldn't be.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here reacting to the Trump administration's decision to basically end offshore wind. But you're optimistic. You say it'll come back.
It's going to depend on who the next president is.
Right.
It won't be Donald Trump. It'll be somebody. So if that somebody says, I want to do exactly what Donald Trump did with offshore wind, then I think it'll be hard for that industry to get off the ground. But in speaking to the CEOs of those the companies that are in the business, you know, they're gonna wait it out. And for what I would say New Bedford's interest is to continue to do what we're doing. We invest in infrastructure. We invest in the workforce. We are in the most competitive position of any port in the United States. Mm-hmm. And we have to make sure that there aren't stupid siting decisions. And I'll say it, the Biden administration made mistakes. They should not have been thinking about the Mid-Atlantic as a place for the Mid-Atlantic. It's called the Mid-Atlantic Call Area. It's off of Delaware and Maryland. That offshore windmills shouldn't be going in that place because there's a whole lot of scallops there, among other things. And the same thing with parts of the New York Bight, right? That area of triangular-shaped area of ocean that sort of heads toward New York Harbor. Lots of scallops in there, and most of them go to New Bedford. So, they need to revisit some of those decisions. And the Trump administration, to its credit, undid some of that. It's just that the Trump administration threw out the baby with the bathwater. They went too far with it, and the pendulum's got to swing back.
If you're wondering why you hear the mayor of New Bedford, it's because he adjusted his schedule for the holidays, and we appreciate that. Mayor, you've got a really interesting project. It was all over the news this morning in the Boston area, actually yesterday as well. I saw it on Channel 5. Kudos Construction, the far north end. They've been awarded a grant. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, I think Kudos Construction advertises on BSM, right?
They do.
Yeah. Good guys,
yes.
The Kudo brothers, and they've been in the construction business for a while, and it's true of a number of construction companies. They some of them have nowadays are finding opportunities in doing some real estate development, which means it allows them to do, especially for residential development, the development of apartment buildings allows them to do it a little more cheaply, right? Because they are their own general contractor. So they don't have to, you don't have like layers of of profit expectations between the real estate developer and the general contractor and the subs, right? So if they're able to be both the developer and the general contractor, they can do things ultimately a little more cheaply. So by removing a middleman, in effect. So the project in the North End is an important one. This is one of the two nursing homes that was vacated back in 2019, 18 or so. And we commandeered during the pandemic.
Yes.
We talked about that a lot, that we that one and the one on Rockdale Avenue, ultimately the one on Rockdale Avenue we used, and the one on Acushnet Avenue, the one we're talking about, wasn't used, but it used them as surge facilities, right? Overflow for patients when the hospital filled up. So the one in the North End in Sassaquin sat there we wanted to find some gainful use. We had a company, a drug treatment company, come to town and say that they wanted to take it over and turn it into an inpatient drug treatment center. And I didn't think that was a good idea. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that was for lots of reasons. And I'm sure the neighborhood didn't want that. So we told them that, look, I just don't think that that's the right thing for that site, not the right thing for the neighborhood. And so, you know, we shopped it around to real estate developers, but the Kudo brothers have taken it on. And what they got yesterday, they want to turn it into an apartment building, which is not easy because the building isn't configured as an apartment building. It's configured as a nursing home, which is different, right? The nursing home, like every room doesn't have like a kitchen and such. So you got to like rebuild the inside of the building to allow for apartments to be in there. So they're working their way through those complexities, but they think they can pull it off. And so we supported them with a tax break, property tax break, and they applied to the state with our support for what's called an HDIP grant, which is a grant for housing that isn't income restricted, and so that helps too. So they're getting closer to having their financing in place to build an apartment building there that I think will offer more opportunities for people to find housing, and with more housing on the market, we'll see ultimately in the long run a downward pressure on prices. So that's what that's about. They vetted it with the neighborhood. The neighbors were happy with it. Understandably, they didn't want to see a vacant building there, much less a drug treatment center.
Right.
And so so it's moving forward. So they deserve a lot of credit because that's not the business. They're in the construction business and they're venturing into this, but they're professionals. They are they're entrepreneurs, and they're smart guys. They'll figure it out, and the Sasquatch neighborhood will be better for it.
And I think it's important to point, they did need your support, your administration support, to get this state funding. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know, my housing director, Josh Amaral, and his team were very, very good in helping them navigate the state issues through the state requirements for that grant.
Yeah.
So they help set them up. Tony Cabral, who's been a big champion in that program, was there as well. So it's gotten a lot of support, the HDIP program. So it's a good grant, $2.5 million overall. And appreciate the support from the Healy Driscoll administration too.
Mayor, we've got some people on hold who want to speak with you here on Tuesday with the mayor, Tuesday before Christmas with the mayor. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Yes, I wanted to ask the mayor a question. Was there ever a vote for putting the windmills out there? Was his decision to say this is what I want?
Well,
it's a question.
Yeah. So, was there a vote? There's a law in place called the Outer Continental Shelf Lands Act, OCSLA, which was passed by Congress about 25 years ago that allows for the offshore wind industry to develop. It also governs the siting of fossil fuel development as well, oil rigs and such, natural gas rigs. So where they can go and under what circumstances and how they are required to mitigate the effects of what they do. So it's not like these things are subject to vote.
My question is, if I was there a vote for the people of New Bedford to have this thing put in, or was it your decision to say this is good? Because I'm going to ask you a very quick question in a minute.
Okay.
It don't work.
Yeah,
it can't work.
I'm not sure what the it is. Are you saying, was there a vote in New Bedford for somebody to build these windmills?
Correct.
25 miles away from New Bedford?
I don't care if it's 25 miles, 50 miles, or 13 miles.
Well, how's it affect? Let me ask you something. How does it affect New Bedford?
Because you want 4,000 people to go online.
No, I don't care about that. I don't care if it doesn't matter to me. What I care about is jobs in New Bedford. Because if that
there's no jobs.
No, there are people who just lost their jobs on the waterfront. No, there are people. What do you think? So look, have you been down to the waterfront? Let me ask you something. You see those things on the waterfront being moved around, right?
Yeah.
They don't move around by themselves, right?
So if they don't move around, don't we have to push them around and make electricity make it work again?
You see those big towers on the waterfront. There are people who move those around and put them on ships. There are people, engineers, who help them do that. There are lawyers who are employed because of that, and accountants and so forth. There are people who are staying in our hotels because of all that. So I guess what I'm saying to you is that's happening in New Bedford. If it was going to happen somewhere else, it could happen in New Jersey or...
No, it didn't happen in New Jersey. They cut it out.
No, what I'm saying to you is, or pick another state, Rhode Island. If New Bedford didn't want that work, it would have happened in Rhode Island. So you'd still have the windmills. Hold on a second. So you'd still have the windmills out in the ocean, but the work would be going to Rhode Island or Connecticut. Like, how is that good for New Bedford?
It doesn't matter. Nobody's going to win with windmills. It doesn't work. You're never going to. The only people that's going to work with the windmills is politicians and the guy to put it up there. It doesn't work.
Yeah, so
I'm telling you.
I don't know. We're talking past one another now. But so, like, if the windmills are going,
sure. I appreciate the call. We got to take a break.
Yeah. So, yeah, the windmills are going up. Do you want the work in New Bedford? Do you want it to go to London, Connecticut, or to Rhode Island? I mean, pick a place.
We'll take a break. We'll be right back. It's Tuesday with the mayor here before Christmas. Stick around.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Welcome back to the program. I'm Chris McCarthy. We have the mayor of New Bedford here, John Mitchell. We got a bunch of people on hold, Mayor. Let's do that. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on with Mayor Mitchell.
Good morning.
Hello.
You were talking about the Kudo construction.
Yes.
Can I give a little shout out?
Absolutely.
They're working behind my building at Attorney Lynn's office. I'm telling you, those guys work so hard.
Yeah.
And they were doing something on the building, and they had the guy on the top of the roof with a leaf blower cleaning off the roof. And when they leave, you don't even know they've been there.
Yeah.
They have everything squeaky clean when they leave every night.
Now, this is not calling. This is not their mother calling.
I recognize her voice.
I was with her yesterday. This is legit. This is legit.
I live at Melville Towers. I look out I'm on the water side.
Oh, yeah.
And the lawyer's office is right in front of my window.
Yep.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, those guys, they don't slack off or anything. I even called the company, and I told you, give them a little kudos, you know, because they are, I can't believe, when you never knew they were there.
Yeah, that's good.
When they leave, so. I'm glad that they do their work, and I'm happy they, you know, they're a good crew. So you have a good day and a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Merry Christmas.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you for the call, and have a wonderful Christmas. That's a good sign, right?
Yeah, it's a good call.
People who clean up after themselves, you know they're doing great work.
They do.
Yeah.
They do. It's good company. I'm glad they're advertising here, too.
Yes. 508-996-05. If you're wondering why the mayor's here, it's because he's flexible. We decided last week.
I am flexible.
He didn't have to, you know, I wasn't going to be here on Wednesday, so we moved it up to Tuesday.
Indeed we did, Chris.
It was my decision not to be here on Tuesday, not the mayor's.
I'm trying to fit myself into your schedule, Chris. That's what it is.
We'll come around eventually, Mayor. I'll be running the whole city soon. Here we go. Let's go back to the phones. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah. Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mayor. Merry Christmas to both of you.
Thank you.
In the past, Mayor, I've talked to you when you've been on the show, and you actually didn't receive any revenue from this windmill project down here, except for hotels or restaurants or whatever, which is probably minuscule. And you just said that people have lost their jobs on the waterfront now. Now, how many people do you know of were employed by in the New Bedford area by this company?
Well, so Vineyard Wind has the exact numbers, but it's ranged from the hundreds down into the dozens. It's over the course of the project. They've been over there over a year and a half now, and so it's fluctuated depending on where they are in the life of the.
You say
the project.
Approximately 100 people in this area employed by this company.
Yeah, it's been more than that over the time. Mm-hmm. I can't tell you like specifically how much, but Vineyard Wind has posted those numbers somewhere. You could look mm-hmm. them up.
And this is wrapped up now. Now I heard.
I can tell you. Revenue to the city is one benefit. So you are right. Because the city has a hotel and meals tax, when people stay in the hotels or eat at the restaurants, the city receives effectively a sales tax from that. There are other benefits, of course, too. There are people who are employed here because Vineyard Wind have a job, right? That's one thing. It is also when they do eat in restaurants and hotels, it supports the jobs of people in the hotels and restaurants when they spend money and on other things like fuel. And the fuel companies in the harbor have done well by offshore wind.
But as for the city, they didn't receive any revenue whatsoever for rental of the area or anything like that.
No, the New Bedford Marine Commerce Terminal is operated by the Mass Clean Energy Center, so they get a rent payment from the developer every year. So that's where that revenue goes to. You know, I'll just say too, there are a number of fishing boats. There's over 50 fishing vessels that have been involved in the project. They go out, they ferry people back and forth, they pull security around the perimeter of the project. They look for whales, right? All that. Mm-hmm. There's that aspect of it. And then there's also, frankly, because New Bedford has sort of positioned itself to become an offshore wind hub, there has been, as I said before, a whole lot of investment here. I mean, literally hundreds of millions of dollars of investment over the last decade, which is really significant. Mm-hmm. You haven't seen that kind of investment, frankly, in the port of New Bedford since we were hunting whales. Not trying to say.
Is there anything lined up for the future for this area, for that particular area right there?
Yeah. So the next ones aren't going to happen soon because of the Trump administration's decisions to review their permits, and that's so they've all had to pull back. So we had two other projects that were multi-billion-dollar projects that were lined up: South Coast Wind and New England Wind One. That were in the pipeline, and those are not going to happen while Donald Trump is in the White House.
Okay, gentlemen, have a good Christmas. I appreciate you talking to me. Thanks.
All right, you bet.
Hey, have a wonderful Christmas. Thanks. 508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, these windmills, is not the profit they'll make, which they haven't made any profit for New Bedford. The fishing industry is the one that makes the money for New Bedford and puts New Bedford up where it is. And instead of them, the politicians in Massachusetts and in New Bedford and the surrounding towns get together and push for the fishing industry. No, they're pushing for windmills that haven't brought a penny into this city. Have a good day.
Yeah, so he's wrong. What can I say? I get that people listen to this stuff and they believe a certain thing, but it's actually not true. I just said how much money was coming in and what it was being spent for, but I can't do anything about the fact that somebody says, you know, went down when the reality is up.
We'll be right back. Stick around. We have the mayor of New Bedford here for a couple more minutes here on Christmas Eve of Christmas Eve. The eve of Christmas Eve, or the morning of the eve of Christmas Eve. We'll be right back. Back to the program. That's off the mayor's playlist. We have the mayor of New Bedford, John Mitchell, here in the studio. Mayor, you have New Year's Eve coming up in the city of New Bedford.
Indeed we do, Chris. Yes, we have we have our New Year's Eve celebration coming up, New Year's celebration. Be there or be square. We've got fireworks. We've got a lot of good stuff downtown for all members of the family, but just a good place to be. Time to have some fun. And again, the fireworks will be great. So you get all the information about it on the city's website.
Real fireworks again. I like
real
that.
Fireworks, right, over the harbor. Yeah, so yeah. It'll be good. It'll be good. And Bristol County Savings Bank is a sponsor of that. Our tourism department has done a lot of work to organize that. So they deserve a great deal of credit for their work. Yeah, Ashley Payne is our director of tourism. Amy DeRosier, the two of them do a great job for us. And the downtown businesses are all in on that. So go downtown, New Year's Eve. You'll see some fireworks. Go out to eat. Have some fun. Bring in the new year.
And you may, in the next couple hours, see the mayor shopping downtown.
Yeah, you probably will see me out
looking for Scrimshaw.
Well, I don't know if I'm going to find any Scrimshaw, but I don't know what I'm going to do.
You're going to go to Carter's.
I'm going to go to Carter's. You'll find me in there. I got to find my way this afternoon, Chris. I'm not sure how I'm going to do it all, but I'll pull it off one way or the other.
Mayor, I would say you go to Rose Alley, get a little liquid motivation, and then you head out from there.
Yeah, that sounds like a plan.
Right? It's a pretty good plan.
Yeah, it makes total sense to me.
Yes.
Yeah.
It'll make more sense tomorrow.
After I visit Rose Alley, I make some really good spending decisions.
Yes. Perfect. Perfect. Mayor, want to thank you for adjusting your schedule coming in. Merry Christmas, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you, Chris. Merry Christmas to everybody. I hope that everybody listening has an opportunity to kick back just a little bit, connect with your families, take stock. But it's a great time of year, and I hope everyone has an opportunity to enjoy it fully.
We'll see you next Wednesday.
No, you won't.
No?
No, because you're not even here next
Wednesday. Oh, no, no. Well, next Wednesday is tomorrow. But we'll see you the weekend.
Next week.
Oh, that's
week.
Right.